Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Well, welcome to the Rebecca Roth Show. What I'd like to do today is, first off, I want to say thank you to everybody that really enjoyed the last show that we did about the CIA and their control of the media and the amount of manipulation that is going on. We did a show about guerrilla propaganda just before that, and I referenced you to go back and listen to that, because I had found that really interesting in researching this, that this was actually a psychological methodology of propaganda called guerrilla propaganda, where the example that was used, there was actually a couple of them. George W. Bush, around the time of 9/11, would use, he would first off mispronounce Saddam Hussein's name to call him Sodom, as in sodomy, I guess. That was his inside chuckle. And he would use Saddam Hussein, Iraq, and the 9/11 hijackers or terrorists all in the same sentence over and over. And what happened was that the mainstream media, who's all controlled by the same people, did the same exact thing. And now we're seeing it happen with Donald Trump being Hitler, Donald Trump, Hitler, in the same sentence, and also Donald Trump supporters as Nazis. You're going to see that over and over again. And I literally have had hundreds of people email me after having that pointed out, listening to the show, and said, oh my God, you're right. This is really crazy that I turn on the news, even local news. Even I don't care if you're in Minneapolis or if you're in St. Louis or if you're in New York City. You're going to see ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox affiliates. They're all written. The script is all written the same. You can see the control of the mainstream media is how what they're doing is controlling how you think about someone. In this case, we were brainwashed to think that Saddam Hussein, who we supported during the Iraq war for 8 years. We supported Saddam Hussein. We gave him the nerve gas and all of the ingredients for making his deadly gases that he later on shot those Scud missiles off to Iran and shot the Kurdish people with him. But that was okay because he was our friend then, so it was no big deal. But then once we decided we needed to launch on this project for a new American century and these pre-planned wars, and the whole 9/11 event was all planned out, methodically planned actually. Then we started to see this propaganda, especially right after the terror attacks when all of us were vulnerable. So you got to first off forgive yourself. I mean, when I learned the truth about this as I was uncovering this stuff step by step by step and started writing these novels. First, I got angry at myself for being so stupid. How could I not have a red flag go up when I saw an aluminum aircraft slide through that building like a hot knife through butter? Now, there are people that are paid, that are architects and engineers, that are out there, I've actually had arguments with them, that claim that if that airplane was going fast enough, and they use this representation or this example of a piece of straw or something in a hurricane. Well, listen, I'm here to tell you that airplane, the 767, cannot go that fast that it could do the impossible, period. End of story. I don't care who you think you are. You can bloviate all your BS day and night, but you're not going to change physics. But what happened to us on 9/11 and afterwards, and I remember myself saying, why are they showing that plane going through? Because to me, it was an impossibility over and over and over in the media. And if you look back, you're going to remember that the media was showing over and over and over and over again that the aircraft out of aluminum slid all the way through that tower made of, various hard things. I actually had somebody, I said, steel, cement, glass. I mean, we're talking hard objects here, right? We're talking a skyscraper, 100 plus stories. And I actually had someone email me and tell me that there's a difference between concrete and cement. Because in construction, you use one or the other. And I don't know which word I use. But my point is, whether it's cement or concrete, it's a hell of a lot harder than an aluminum airplane. And an aluminum airplane cannot slide right through a building made out of steel with cement or concrete flooring, because that's what they had between the floors, was that's stuff they use in building construction, and very thick glass. Very thick, why? Because they don't want people to be thrown through it from 100 floors, right? So, and I don't remember how thick the glass was, and quite frankly, I don't care. That aluminum aircraft cannot do that. And so you can sit there and argue all day long with yourself, but you're never going to convince me that physics was put on vacation that day. But what happened for me, now, since I had studied airplane crashes for 30-some years, when I saw that, I thought this was a trick photography. I really did. It's impossible. And most airline people that are honest with themselves, because I got to tell you this, there are some people flying right now that are living in denial. And it's really difficult as an airline professional. It is extremely difficult to admit that the government was involved with this. My God, that's our safety net. That's your safety net. That's our passenger's safety net. So it's really difficult because and that's what I wrote in The Methodical Deception. I wanted you to get inside Vera Hansen's head, because once she realized the truth, what did she do? She retired. Why? Because she could no longer put that face on in front of her passengers, knowing step by step down the aisle that she knew the United States military would scramble jets within 6 minutes, they'd be on her wingtips. That wasn't true anymore. She knew that they, in fact, were complacent or part of. At the time of Methodical Deception, remember, she didn't really know all of what what she learned in Methodical Conclusion. Neither did I. So I also had somebody ask me this, and let me just answer it while I'm yammering here. My co-host is traveling, I believe, and so I don't think he's going to be able to get to call in, but I'm going to pre-record this show just in case, because sometimes life gets in the way. So if Ramjet doesn't get to call in and tell us where he's at, we'll check in with him next week. But I want to take in some of this information just a little bit deeper that when we talked about last week, and the guerrilla media stuff and the control of when I touch a nerve. And that nerve can be 9/11. It can be that airplanes really took off, and you get trolls that have written books and charge people for going and bloviating their BS about no airplanes took off that day and because they weren't on the BTS. The BTS is a Bureau of Transportation Statistics. It was a voluntary system for the airlines to keep track so they could advertise on-time arrivals and on-time departures. It was kept track of via flight numbers. Why was American Airlines Flight 77 and 11 not put on the BTS? Because they were going to retire those flight numbers. Period. No conspiracy there. It's just like, you people are crazy. I had cold in Christmas time. I had the flu. And I had, I can go on YouTube and see what you're saying about me too. So, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I have a lot of fans. And so when people are out there dissing me or making false claims, it all gets back to me. And so I did have a cold. It wasn't a conspiracy. It was a freaking head cold. So people are crazy, but you got to understand this. And this is one of the things I often start an interview with. I have never been a conspiracy theorist. I am aware right now, very much so, of the involvement of the United States military and the United States government and intelligence agencies, both foreign and domestic, on 9/11, because that's my research. That's where I lived. And that's the tens of thousands of hours of research that I've done. Now, after that research, I did weave all of the information I uncovered into fictitious characters. I am not Vera Hansen, nor have I ever been. Nothing about her is me. And she's just a character to deliver. Max Hager, completely make-believe. Had somebody in Australia, whose name is Max, I guess, think that that was him. No, it was just a completely made-up character just to deliver you the 9/11 truth of what he had uncovered, which is what I had uncovered. So to make it interesting and not threatening, I just created all of the information that I uncovered and put it into novels. It's easy for people to read through this, and maybe in your mind, when you do, you're thinking, well, this is just a novel. It's kind of like when we sit at a movie and we talk, we look at, let's just say, well, I'm going to pick that 2012 disaster kind of movie where the world was coming to an end because of the Mayan calendar or something. I think that was the name of it, 2012. And we saw major earthquakes in California, and we saw all of this stuff happening. And of course, while we're sitting there with this gigantic screen and Dolby surround sound in us, and it feels real and it looks real, if it were on the news, would you think it was real? Because the same people that can create anything they want on the news or create, put anything on in front of the TV in front of you and claim it's real. Okay, so was that happening on 9/11? Was it any more real than the movie? Because what you saw was impossible. It's kind of like those gigantic arcs in that movie. And all the rich people got to go on there and the poor people, you know, got, well, a subliminal message for you right in that movie. But still, you saw things that were impossible. Remember the guy with the little airplane and running down the runway and the ground was cracking? And I mean, this is all green screen stuff. And this has been going on since a long time ago, long before 9/11. And so people are like, well, was it a hologram? How come people, lots of people were standing right there, and I've been contacted by gazillions of them, and they did not see an airplane. What they saw was an explosion, but they didn't see a plane. Well, let me tell you this, and I'm just going to ask you guys to do this. If you live anywhere near an international or major airport, I don't care. I mean, it can be a small airport, but where is at least a 737 landing. Preferably, if you can go someplace like Los Angeles, or someplace where you're going to see 767s or 757s come in, something a little bit bigger than, you know, normal. But I think even Billings can land a 75, because I know I flew into there on some pretty good-sized aircraft. I know I've had a 757 go into, say, Bismarck. So if you're anywhere near a decent-sized airport, just go and look and take your computer with you or your smartphone and put up Flight Radar 24 and pull up your airport and look and see how high the airplanes are you're looking at. And let's say from 10,000 feet down to landing, see how far away from the airport they are, and see how far you can see those planes coming in for a landing. You can look right there. It'll tell you the altitudes. It's a little bit off by a few seconds, but so they may be off by several hundred feet, but still it's going to give you an idea of, you know, like the 700-800 feet ground level that those towers were at. Okay, so when you get down there at the end of the runway, and sometimes you can be at an airport. A great airport to do this is McCarran in Las Vegas. Now, I happen to have used it only because I... In my books, because I had been there, obviously, like everybody else, to Las Vegas several times. And it's a great place for what are called plane spotters to take pictures of airplanes as they come in. And you can also see from, I think the freeway is, I forgot the number now, 215 or something, but it's toward the east of Las Vegas, where a lot of planes come in over Lake Las Vegas, and you're going to see that you can see them very, very far away from the airport itself. So they're at 10,000 feet or something like that, and you can see how high they are when you can see them. So when you look at New York City and you see millions of people, and you'll know why the air traffic controller tower, air traffic controllers in the tower at Newark International said, oh no, this is impossible. Millions of people would have seen it as well as they could have, because from the tower at the end of the runway in Newark, you had a perfect view of the towers, especially the South Tower. They couldn't see a 767 going up the Hudson River. Well, they're right there. It's the towers, I think, are four. They were 4 miles away from the actual air traffic control tower. So how did millions of people miss that plane? Well, there is something now that Microsoft has, and you can find this on YouTube. So when you're finished listening to this, take a little note here. You want to go onto YouTube, and you want to do in the search bar Microsoft HoloLens, HoloLens. And what you're going to see there is hologram technology that's put through like Google Glasses or a virtual reality helmet, or this has kind of like a big sunglasses kind of thing where you can see these holograms all around your house. You must go look at this. Another thing that you're going to see is somebody is filming the holograms. A film person is filming a hologram of something that isn't even real coming out of a wall. So I'll try to put a link to that at the bottom of this YouTube so that you can see the technology. And I believe Microsoft is on the verge of making this be available to the public. I think it's been available to developers over the last year or two or three, as they do. And so you're going to see what you're going to see, what we saw in 9/11, the impossible. A robot monster come out of a wall in this guy's living room. Actually, he's on stage. He's doing a presentation. But keep in mind that someone is filming the hologram that the guy is viewing through his eyewear. Okay, keep in mind that the monster that comes out of the wall that the guy is seeing from the HoloLens thing that he's wearing is actually being filmed by a camera that's showing this all, of course, to you on YouTube. Okay, so and it's really a hard reality check. But remember, you're in the other interviews I've done, I talked about how different companies are involved, and how we talked about how the line of scrimmage for the on NFL games is not visible, that orange line. They move it all the time, or they put logos, or they put arrows on the TV, but you're not going to see that if you're in the stadium or if you're on the field. Okay, so there's all this technology. It was also available in 2001, but your cell phone did not have that kind of technology to work and make a 30-minute or 20-second phone call. So, well, you might have got a 20-second, but by that would be pushing it in 2001 with the cell phone technology and the towers and how everything was set up in 2001. It was impossible for those people to make multiple cell phone calls like Tom Burnett did on Flight 93. Flight 93 at that time was at 39 to 42,000 feet elevation, according to the FAA. Well, that's what they want you to believe. But we know he had to have been on the ground to make the call, right? That's reality. So what I'd love to do is kind of just talk about some of the stuff that I found. I found this really cool paper. And it's taking the CIA just a little bit deeper into their involvement in things that I think a lot of us don't even want to know about. It's kind of like there's a group of people that don't want to know the truth about 9/11. And there's actually a group of psychologists, I believe they're psychologists, that have done videos about why is it that you don't want to know the truth about 9/11. Why people some people have a mental block. And the cool thing, this is my dream come true. I can't even believe I'm sitting here saying this. The reason I chose to take all of the information that I had researched and discovered and put it in novel format, it's as easier for you to understand and believe this if you're partly thinking this is just a book, this is just a story, this is just a novel, this is just a movie. You can take it in easier. But what I want you to do is to get your Google on, or your favorite search engine, and get out there and start looking up what you're seeing. For instance, I talk about an airplane in Methodical Conclusion that's called the Speckled Trout. It's up to you to figure out who was on board. I want you to go do something. Take responsibility for a little research. don't email me and ask me to explain page whatever to you. Because quite frankly, between you and I, there is a ton of information in a terabyte. Okay? I mean, there is beyond your imagination of how much information is in a terabyte. And I tried to put that out there. And when we're going through Bob's flash drives and deception and conclusion, how much information there is and how scattered and crazy it is. The government did create a haystack. They really made this difficult. But they never dreamed that a group of aviation experts like myself and these people that have stepped up to help me, and I have had people from every walk of life come forward, people that saw United 175 landing in Western Massachusetts, people that saw an all-silver 757 commercial plane, obviously American 77, landing in Western Massachusetts. And have contacted me and given me exactly the time. And I happen to know exactly how long it takes to fly there because they have flight calculators to tell me. So, you know, we have people that are just, you know, regular people off the street that happen to have seen things, controllers that were actually working and knew. And some of them even had more information than that. But they knew that this was bogus, this whole thing. Nothing was run from the airline or the FAA, air traffic control, and all of those people involved in our aviation system on 9/11. Nothing was run correctly or via the protocols that we constantly always followed. It's like when I first discovered the hijackers alive. And I thought, well, how did they live through this? I mean, because I had bought into the official story, too. I am not, let me repeat that, I'm not a conspiracy nut. You can go out there and pretend or cook up anything you want about any event. I don't care. But I am not a conspiracy nut. I was an aviation professional for 32 years. Even though it was hard for me to believe an aluminum aircraft went through a skyscraper, like we saw, poof, it left like a little poof balls at the end. Now, that airplane would have exploded on the outside. Half of that aircraft, probably from the wings back, would have been a fireball and fallen on the ground underneath the towers on the street level. That's in real life. So what we saw was impossible, but still, I was there. I was still in the industry. I flew until 2004. So I thought, well, I saw it over and over. I saw it on TV, so it must be real, right? I knew it couldn't be real, but I didn't know what had been done. At first, I thought somebody was playing a trick on me on my TV. But then I saw it over and over again, and I guess everybody saw this. So it wasn't just me, but that was my initial reaction. Somebody was messing with my particular TV or just playing a game on me. And so, for me, I had a pretty good case of jet lag because I'd just gotten in from an international trip. So when I was seeing it, I was still half asleep, and I'm like, oh, how did they do that? It's impossible, right? But what happened is we were all traumatized. We were traumatized to see the people jump out of the planes and all that jazz. But we also saw our head of our military, the Pentagon, the most protected building in the entire world, be struck by an aircraft. Well, normally those things would have been shot down by the Patriot missile battery that surrounded the Pentagon and the restricted airspace around Washington, D.C. and the White House and all of that. But we saw again the impossible. Somebody penetrated all that security. But now later on, someone contacted me, and they actually had a family member that was called up by, can't remember right now if it was Rumsfeld. I think it was Cheney, actually, by one of those two, to go up and dismantle the security around the Pentagon. What are the chances that someone would contact me that actually had a family member that did that? They can't talk about it now to that family member, of course. But can you imagine being a part of this sham? Like that guy was. I mean, he obviously knew that he had been called up to do this for a reason. And then he saw it all unfold. So how would you feel? I don't know. That's hard for me to grasp that. People ask me this kind of questions all the time. I mean, crew involvement. Are they still alive? I don't know. That's anybody's guess. But anyway, there's a paper I want to kind of talk to you about a little bit. And this was just kind of taking that CIA involvement just one step. And this paper is just amazing to me. It's 143 pages, and it talks about how something that if you're old enough to remember, or if you just want to get your Google on, you want to talk. It talks about the Phoenix program, Operation Phoenix, I believe it was called, during the Vietnam War. The Phoenix program was created by the CIA in 1967. And it was aimed at neutralizing through assassinations, through kidnappings, and torture, the civilian infrastructure that supported the Viet Cong, those were the communist regime, insurgency that it was going into South Vietnam, because the North Vietnam was under communism. It was a really terrifying, what they call the final solution. Now, that reminds you of World War II, doesn't it? That violated the Geneva Convention. The Phoenix program's civilian, you heard that right, civilian targets of assassination were Viet Cong tax collectors. Well, we know, we probably all want to kill them, right? I found this really interesting. Tax collectors, supply officers, political cadre, local military officials, and anyone suspected of being sympathizers to the government. Faulty intelligence often led to the murder of innocent civilians. Rival Vietnamese would report their, quote, enemies. Now, okay, so if your neighbors don't like you because you barbecue and the smoke goes into their place, they could just turn you in as an enemy, right? Well, so this is the kind of regime you want to make sure we never slide into. So this is why I'm bringing this up to you. So during this time, Vietnamese would report their enemies as if they were Viet Cong or the enemy in order for U.S. troops to kill them. In 1971, William Colby, the head of the CIA in Vietnam, testified the number killed was 20,857. South Vietnamese government figures were 40,994 dead. CIA officer Ted Shackley. I'm going to spell that for you so you can look him up. Because get your Google on. That's what this is all about. Ted, T-E-D, Shackley, S-H-A-C-K-L-A-Y, managed 600 military and 40 to 50 CIA liaison officers who were working with the South Vietnamese officers in 44 different provinces. Ted Shackley and Robert Comer, K-O-M-E-R, played key roles in recruiting Phoenix program personnel. Covert action officers were Cuban refugees. Now, if you're old enough to remember the early 70s hijackings, people always wanted to go to Havana, Cuba. Well, that ends up looking back in retrospect. We all know now that most of the hijackings were CIA operations as well, just like 9/11. So where would I leave off here? They were recruiting these personnel. Many of them were Cuban refugees from the Bay of Pigs fiasco. Okay, we're taking you back to 1973, and just around the time of John F. Kennedy's assassination. By who? Guess. They ran the CIA's counterterror teams, which were in fact assassination squads. Wow, I said that right after I talked about John F. Kennedy, didn't I? Colby, Comer, and Shackley reported to the DCI, Richard Helms, H-E-L-M-S, and the White House. From the beginning of Phoenix, the conceived by the White House and supported by the CIA. Phoenix called for neutralizing 1,800 targets each month. About one-third of the Viet Cong targeted for arrest were summarily executed. Green Berets, Navy SEALs, would assassinate any suspected Viet Cong sympathizers, as well as South Vietnamese collaborators, or who someone said was a collaborator, and double agents. Again, someone could say they were a double agent. Didn't matter. Some of your neighbors said that, you were dead. In 1982, an ex-Phoenix operative revealed that sometimes orders were given to kill U.S. military personnel who were considered to be security risks. He suspects the orders came not from division, but from higher authorities such as the CIA or the Office of Naval Intelligence. Well, let's go back to the Office of Naval Intelligence. The Office of Naval Intelligence was pretty well struck head-on by whatever it was that hit the Pentagon that wasn't a 757. Now, I'm not going to get into arguing if it was a Tomahawk cruise missile, it had a different kind of name, if it came from whatever. I don't care. It wasn't a 757 because we know where it was parked because we have an eyewitness and we have phone calls that were made while it was on the ground in the hangar. And so it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not going to argue concrete or cement. Both of them are hard, aren't they? And a hell of a lot harder than an aluminum aircraft. I'm not going to argue if the energy weapon used to disintegrate the building, conjunction with thermite and nanothermite or not. We do know this for a fact. Nanothermite and thermite were both found in the dust. Now, I'm not going to say that that could have come from something else. I don't think our computers are filled with it or our office chairs are filled with it. So nanothermite, by the way, is only available to the United States government, aka military. So it's not something that somebody had in their desk, okay? But it's there in the dust, and it cannot be denied. You just can't deny reality. You just have to face it. Now, I've said all along, because I never went into the building, so I'm not an architect, but I'm working with one now. So it was just not my specialty, and I don't quite frankly think it really matters. But what happens when trolls get involved? And trust me, the 9/11 truth movement, so-called truth movement, who really doesn't care about the truth. They're just out there bloviating, making money, whatever, diverting your attention. Okay. It's kind of like people that are claiming I'm 20 different people and I'm a chemist or a realtor or some other crazy thing. Thing but a flight attendant. Why is my airline career such a threat to a retired professor? A good question, huh? Well, we can only speculate on that. My point in this article that I'm talking to you about is how involved the CIA is and was and has been from their start. And I really encourage you to go back and listen to last week's show, Are You Being Played? And also the show we did before that on guerrilla propaganda, so you understand how keywords are used in conjunction in the same sentence with each other to brainwash you. That's what they're doing. They're manipulating you to think a certain way. Let's say they manipulate you to believe all Catholics are bad. Or I think one of the things you can probably agree with if you've watched any mainstream news and information is that we're being manipulated to believe Russia and Putin are bad. They're the enemy now. And partly because there are people in D.C. that really want to do a first strike nuclear attack against Russia. Why? I don't know. They're insane, I'm pretty sure. But I've read this too much and by people that know too much, and it's real. So, you know, what I want you to really get out of this, and I want to probably do a whole series about this stuff, is that you need to understand, if you're not old enough to remember Vietnam, then you want to start going through the portal of the Phoenix program. I think it was also called Operation Phoenix, if I remember correctly, at some point. Or you might be able to Google search that as well. But Phoenix and Vietnam is going to get you a lot of information, because like this whistleblower or this truth teller that came out, as people got out of there, remember these kids, I mean, they're like 18, 19, 20, maybe as old as 24, and they're being used by the Navy SEALs or the intelligence agencies or whatever to go in and do this. And they saw atrocities. And what I put in the methodical conclusion was a soldier, Dante Wilcox. Why? Because he's a lot like a lot of people that went to Afghanistan, went to Iraq, and what did they see? They saw themselves and their own families in the eyes of people that were civilians that had lost their jobs, their home, their government to the United States military. And yet they were human and they were kind and they shared and they took care of these guys. And he was dealing with what's often referred to as post-traumatic stress. He was stressed and not knowing what to do with the guilt. Where these people would feed him, he would go out at night as a sniper and kill their family members. And so there's a lot of those people coming home from these cooked-up, created wars, from this charade of 9/11. You're being manipulated. Don't think you haven't been manipulated for a long time. We're talking Vietnam now, okay? So one of the things I was talking to you about is, you know, William Colby and how the CIA, you know, when they can get the American people to believe a bunch of lies, they're succeeded. And that's what they're doing. And the media in the United States is just an arm of the intelligence community. And if you look, you'll see people like Anderson Cooper, who actually was an intern for the CIA. He came from a very wealthy mother. Didn't need to do that as a job, but most journalists are associated. So when we talked about the association in last week's, are you being played by the media? Are you being manipulated by the media to think someone is your enemy? Are you so afraid of a Muslim because you've never met one? And a lot of Americans haven't. I mean, come on. If you're in this, I mean, if you're in, you know, some state, I don't know, pick a state. If you're a farmer, if you're out there in the middle of Ohio, you don't have a mosque around, you don't know any Muslim. So you go on TV and they're telling you these people are all terrorists. Well, you know, in the history of the United States, they did that. They kind of did a similar thing to the Mormons, remember? They actually had an execution order by the United States government, Washington, D.C., president of the United States, to kill them. And that's kind of how the Mormons, you know, migrated the heck out of where they were, because they had to, because there was an execution order out against them. Why? Because they were doing something the government didn't like. Well, in their case, I think it was polygamy or, you know, I don't know, all this stuff. But I'm just using that as an example because you can be targeted. You could be targeted because you're a Catholic. You could be targeted because you're a Mormon. You could be targeted because you're a Muslim. That's what they're doing right now. Because what we got on 9/11 was a lot of mixed messages. You'll remember, you know, President Bush was saying, well, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Well, now that you know what you know, especially if you've read the entire methodical series. You want to start with that methodical illusion, read methodical deception, and then methodical conclusion, because they do hook together. It's a continuing story. And I'm thinking about continuing with at least one more book, but it's not going to be methodical. It'll be some other title. And it's just because it's getting too confusing for everyone involved. When book orders come in, I want to make sure you get the right book, and that you're ordering the right book. So it's at this point with three books with methodical starting the title for everyone, for the publisher, for everyone who touches the artwork, everyone that does all the stuff that, if you've never put a book together, you see it's a lot of work. And so that's the reason I'm not going to use methodical, but I'm actually giving serious thought. And I pretty much convinced myself that I'm going to take Ruth Ann and Mark and continue on down the rabbit hole, because there's a lot more information. I have more information that I couldn't put in a methodical conclusion, mainly because it was some of it is not really related, and I got to figure out a way to bring it all in. And I needed to finish this book at that around that 270, 300 page thing, and the rest of the information is going to start funneling through future books. And then, and listen, it's up to you guys. Get your Google on. Go look and see. And I know I will try to figure out a way to make some of this FOIA stuff available. I know in my Facebook group I put in just a sample of one of the flight strip PDFs from a FOIA so you could see. So you can see if you could read it, because I sure as heck couldn't. So anyway, I just want to kind of talk to you just a few minutes while we have about 20 minutes left. What happened during this whole thing with the Viet Cong is beyond your evil when you read this stuff, you're going to read this and you're going to think, oh my goodness. Well, so when you see what the CIA was involved in, and then and this is in the 60s and 70s, right, during the Vietnam conflict, wasn't a war, then it'll help you understand this. So the Phoenix Program architect was a guy named Robert Comer, K-O-M-E-R. And after leaving the Pentagon, he said, and I quote, "I would have done a lot of things differently and been more cautious about getting us involved." He called the war a strategic disaster, which cost us 57,000 lives and $500 billion. It was in the 60s and 70s. So when we started planning what's going on in the Middle East now, 9/11, this cannot shock you. And we're horrified that, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people were in those towers. And we're horrified about that. Look what happened in Vietnam. The same people planning it. These people, by the way, would like to shut me up. And so you obviously can see they have the power to do that. So I'm going to keep doing this and help you understand who really, the degree of evil. Now, I've been called an anti-Semite because I've pointed out some involvement of the Israelis. Well, Israelis are not necessarily the Jewish people of the Bible, first off. You need to understand that. And get your Google on and start looking at the history and how things were played out through to and the everything that led to where we have the current state of Israel situated right now. And when you call me an anti-Semite, it is only going to infuriate me and make me do more shows. And actually, I'm thinking about doing just on my own, because sometimes I can't hook up with Ramjet. Sometimes he's out, he's traveling. I think he's in an aircraft really today. So if he can't get internet or can't call in or can't get connected, I'm thinking about just doing these little shows, like maybe 2-3 minute deals. I may do 3 or 4 in a day. I may just do 1 a day. But they'll go up on YouTube. And just to point out things to you. And like I said, I'm not a conspiracy nut, because people really do die. I think it's so disrespectful. These things may be set up. The shooters may be intelligence agents. They may be patsies used by intelligence. It may be a coordinated false flag event. Unfortunately, they didn't care how many people were in the towers, did they? They didn't care how many people were on the aircraft, did they? They did manage to get control of the computer systems in the reservations so that they didn't have 800 people. They only had about 250, 260. To handle, because if all those aircraft would have been full, they'd have had around 800 people to have to take care of, and that means around 800 bodies they would have had to cremate and get rid of, whatever, however they want. You'll learn about that in the conclusion, because I think it's pretty well laid out there where they went, what did they do with the bodies. Now, it's one of the questions a lot of people have asked me, and I'm like, well, how would I know that? Well, I did find, actually I didn't, but one of the air traffic controllers did find an indication that will pretty much lay out to you what happened, where the bodies were taken to. So when I talk about this Phoenix program, the reason I want you to understand this is really so that you can really grasp the degree of evil. And then you can just look in Wikipedia. And the reason I say that, it's real easy. You don't have to be a master researcher. But one of the things that Wikipedia will do, if you just go in there and click on the CIA, then you can click on somebody like Alan Dulles. You can click on names like Sidney Gottlieb. Now, he was the guy behind Operation Mockingbird. And he was also one of the people that was involved with the MK Ultra mind control. And he used LSD on people that had no idea they were being drugged with LSD. When you go in and you start reading this stuff, Wikipedia is a good place to do it because the people involved, most of them have Wikipedia pages and they're blue. And when you click on them, it's going to take you right there. You can find out where did they grow up? What did their parents do? How did they grow up to be psychopaths? But it's a really good way to start. And you can get the history, like I said, of and I got an email from someone who was really blown away and sort of offended that I had said the Operation Mockingbird started in the 50s. Said, no, it didn't. It started in 1947. Well, Operation Mockingbird on VIA, and this is what I had in front of my screen when I said this, it was a secret campaign by the United States Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, to influence the media. It began... this actually says begun in the 1950s. Now, okay, go ahead. You can sit out there and think it was 1947. I don't care. But it was initially organized by Cord Meyer and Alan Dulles and was later led by a guy named Frank Wisner. Right there. Those are three blue highlighted names that you can go look up Operation Mockingbird on Wikipedia. Don't come and argue with me that concrete and cement are different. They're both harder than hell and a lot harder than an aluminum airplane. Stop doing that. That's just ridiculous. Or this, oh no, it started in 1947. Well, according to Wikipedia, and maybe they're wrong, but according to the history of the CIA and the Operation Mockingbird begun in the 1950s. Okay? If it started 3 years earlier and you think you know about it, go fine. Put a button on you that says you're cool. That you know more than Rebecca Roth. I don't care. I'm just telling you the information. Stop trying to sidetrack me on a stupid detail like that. Why? You know, this guy also kind of inferred I might be a anti-Semite. Huh. Why would you do that? You know, this is another thing. It's going to take me right back. I'm going to fire up here a little bit. Remember when I was just waking up to the fact that the hijackers were still alive, and I think there were six of them that I found the very first day I found this BBC article. I couldn't even believe this. From 2001, about 10, 11 days after 9/11. That these guys hadn't even ever come to the United States. Some of them were airline pilots for Saudi Air or Moroccan Air or Air Tunisia. ID stolen, or they were never been in the country. Never, ever. This one guy was supposed to be the pilot at Shanksville, the flight 93 into Shanksville. And he didn't know what a Pennsylvania was. He'd never been to America. Never. So he doesn't even know how his ID got stolen. Just complete makeup. They just completely made this guy up. They stole his identity. And he's still listed in Wikipedia and in history books as one of the 19. And he works in outside of Riyadh in some energy department, some probably gas or oil thing. But this is just nuts. And so I started reading that. And shortly thereafter, you know, sometimes God works in strange ways, I guess. But I was, I don't know, probably cooking and just flipped on the television. I flipped on and Fox News was on. I think it was Sean Hannity, if I remember correctly. And they were talking about something about Building 7 or something about 9/11. And, of course, since I just found the hijackers were still alive and I just started looking at this, I just couldn't believe what my ears heard. And I heard somebody question, let's say Building 7, just a detail. I don't care what it was, so don't email me and tell me what it was. It was something about 9/11. And somebody called someone else on the show, and I don't care who they were, an anti-Semite. But it was the anti-Semite that got my attention. I was like, wait a minute, what does that have to do with the building falling down? I think it was Building 7 because it fell down at 5:20 in the afternoon, right? After not being hit by an airplane. So I'm like, well, that's an odd thing to call someone. And it's just as odd for you out there listening to call me an anti-Semite or refer or infer that I might have a problem with Jews. Because I'm talking about Operation Mockingbird and it started in 1950s here. It says right here in Wikipedia. You can think it started in 1947. Quite frankly, I don't care. The point is it started. The point is it is control of the media. Let's argue if it started in April or May, okay? I mean, come on, people. This is nuts. This is what trolls do. they try to sidetrack you. And I'm telling you what, I'm up against the CIA right now because I'm telling you the truth. And I'm reading this and I've uncovered this and I'm finding this. They hired airline flight attendants, for Christ's sake, on 9/11. I've been told by their families that they had been offered a position or had taken a position with the Central Intelligence Agency. I'm not here to telling you what I've gotten, the information that I've gotten, whether I've uncovered it, whether it came from a family member, whether it came from the FOIA data, doesn't matter. I laid it all out there for you. I'm standing in the truth. You can't push me over. Now, I'm up against the CIA, and you know what they can do. Thank you very much. I mean, this is just really, it's very interesting that I see certain things really trigger, especially the anti-Semitism flag. It's very fascinating to me because I'm talking about Operation Mockingbird. And by the way, the person who really had concern with all these little details that I said was someone who was afraid to email me through somebody else. I thought that was really wild. Interesting. So, we're talking about people like the people who started the CIA, came from the OSS, Alan Dulles. Now, just so that you people who are out there calling me an anti-Semite, Alan Dulles, who had an uncle that was a Jesuit priest. If you don't understand what I just said, just go Google search Jesuit and look into the Catholic religion. Okay, so his own sister, Alan Dulles' sister, said that he had over 100 extramarital affairs. Well, what a guy. He also was himself an anti-Semite until 1921. While he was in the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Istanbul, somebody convinced him that the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion was a forgery. And he unsuccessfully attempted to persuade the United States State Department to publicly denounce the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion as a forgery. Wikipedia has a pretty good step-by-step. I think there's like 26 or 28 Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And if you read through those and you cannot see that they're all in place, then you need to reread it. This guy, Alan Dulles, who was also involved with the CIA, was the director of the Council on Foreign Relations in the early era. And the Council on Foreign Relations started in the early 20s, and by 1927, he was the director. He was then, during World War II, recruited into the what was called the OSS, and of course, that became the CIA. But you can look up Alan Dulles. There's some really good books out about him. Get on Amazon and, go get some books. Read some things about him. Don't take time to argue a detail with me. I have more information in my head than I can put out. Like I said, I've got more stuff on 9/11 that I spin into another story. And you can read that. And then it's up to you to go look online. Go Google it. Go whatever your favorite Yahoo search engine. I don't care. I just say Google because it works. Of course, Google is associated with Central Intelligence in the United States. But still, there's information online, is my point. I don't care what you use to search it. So, it's just bizarre to me that, for instance, in the methodical deception, I did an interview with SGT Report on YouTube, and we talked about the boxes behind those guys. They're wearing repelling gear, and they took the window out for the B thing, the Gelatin Art Group, the people who were living in the World Trade Center towers for a year plus prior to 9/11. Some of them were associated with the traveling art students that were demolition experts. So, I get contact from an email from someone who said, you know what, you're right. Those BB-18, they're something called a fuse bar. And normally they can be used for wiring a building or as a house. But in this case, that building had been wired since the 1970s. And there are boxes and boxes and boxes of these guys, right? but they can also be used for remote control demolition. Making something happen electrically inside a building from the building across the street or somewhere else. Airplane, helicopter, you name it. I'm not going to tell you how it was done. I don't know. I wasn't there. But what I did see, and what's really interesting, is I've gotten all kinds of people that are in the demolition department. That's what they do for a living. I'm like, oh, yeah, definitely they could use these. It's just a fuse holder. It's a power bar. It's something that can hold multiple fuses. Okay? So, I find it really interesting when I've gone through, and then someone will pick some little teeny tiny thing. Well, yeah, in fact, they have multiple uses. One of them can be used in remote control demolitions. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just telling you the truth. You get to digest it or not. Listen, there is no one that had a harder time digesting the truth about 9/11 than me. 2 years after I wrote my first manuscript for Methodical Illusion, letting it sit on the shelf for 2 years. One, thinking the CIA would probably kill me, or the NSA together would hunt me down through my IP address, which is why I use multiple proxy servers from multiple locations and I travel. I'm not sitting someplace, one place. I just kind of assumed that they weren't going to want this information to be out there. Once I dealt with that and published the first book and I got on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, then some people started making some just crazy accusation, personal attacks. Hey, listen, I could give a rip what you say, because I'm going to stand in the truth as I discover it, as it unfolds, and I'm going to continue talk about it, write about it, and get it out there as much as I can. Because if I am killed, I want all this stuff to keep going. I want you to get your Google on. I want you to take responsibility and start looking at stuff. So I just wanted to share that with you. I may actually do a whole series on this paper, because as I was reading it, and I was just like reading it all night one night, I just couldn't put it down. It brings you clear back to 9/11. Many of the players, the Project for New America Century, all kinds of stuff. So you can see that it's all connected. And that's my point, is that it is all connected to the Central Intelligence Agency. And just dig in and look at their future or their past. See where they came from. That's what I want you to do. I don't care if it's cement or concrete. It was hard. I mean, it was a lot harder than an aluminum building or aluminum plane. And I know what happens when aluminum aircraft hit just about every kind of surface, because I studied airplane crashes for 32 years, part of my training. So on that note, I'm going to just close this show off. I guess we never heard from Ramjet. So I may just record this show if we can't hook up and do another one. And he will join us when he can, when he gets landed. I think he went to Europe. I'm not sure. So there you go. Thanks for joining the show. And I hope you get your Google on and start looking so you can understand. It's very hard, very difficult to understand the degree of evil. And that was the hard part for me. I could not believe that people, like I'm a human, other humans could be this evil. And it is evil. So what we saw in 9/11, that's nothing compared to what they did in Vietnam. So if you can relate to those two things, the same people doing it. All right. So thanks a lot for joining in, and we'll talk to you next week, if not sooner.